Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Here's a question, I think inspired by Lance Armstrong and the Tour de France. Is it immoral to reap the rewards of victory in competitive sports by cheating, even if other competitors are not following the rules, or if the judges or referees are not enforcing the rules? Let's take this one step at a time. If the rules by their nature cannot be enforced, then they cannot be rules. For instance, I believe there are certain drugs that after some period of time will still be working on the system, giving an advantage to a cyclist, but no longer have the traceable quality. I don't know if that's true, but even if it isn't, let's assume that there are rules which simply can't be enforced no matter what the conscientiousness of the judges. Those rules cannot be rules, because if you made those rules, it would mean that the conscientious men are sacrificed to the evil. The ones who are trying to be upright and follow the announced principles, as opposed to those who are cheating. And the fact is, there cannot be cheating in regard to an unenforceable rule. It is not a rule. It is just rhetoric, and a person should simply ignore it without any guilt. One of the rules of the Tour de France is communion with God. Okay? That's it. Just forget about it. Or, you know, something that will enhance the performance. Now, if the rules are enforceable, but the judges don't enforce them, then the rules are merely rhetoric. The only time you have to follow a rule in a sport is if it can and is enforced by the umpire or the judge or whatever, because then you have morally made a real commitment, not to a mystical unknowable, and not in the face of uncaring or partisan or bribed judges, but an honest transaction between you and them, then you are morally required to follow. And if you violate those rules, you should be expelled. Now, I don't know enough about the Tour de France, but from what I read, which may very well be inexact, there's many rules that the judges don't enforce or enforce with a bias, and almost everybody cheats some way. That may be wrong. If so, it's not a competitive sport. It's an entertainment spectacle. Now listen to this one. If life is the standard of morality, then does that make it immoral to enjoy a bit of, quote, the rough stuff, unquote, in the bedroom? Some people may enjoy that sort of thing because of the inescapable impact of childhood experiences. The rough stuff. Now, first, that the end of that question. You cannot justify any action or behavior because of feelings that you grew up having because of your background. Even if you feel, I've got that feeling, I don't know what to do with it, you cannot say, well, it's justified because my parents were so mean to me, or whatever it happens to be. For example, you can't say, I was brought up to hate blacks or Jews or whatever, and that is a strong feeling in me, There's nothing I can do about it now, so the only thing that would satisfy me was to use these epithets and do this prejudiced action, etc. That is completely unjustified. Maybe you were brought up that way, but then you have to learn to recondition your thinking according to what you find out as an adult is rational. And here's a sexual example. Forgive me, but what do you think of this one? My brother used to make me lie down in the bathroom and pee on me. And I would get excited. And now this alone makes me feel real closeness. Well, you know, if you're going to go by what your childhood experiences led to, there's nothing you couldn't end up justifying. So I reject that idea. Now let's look specifically at quote, this is his quote, the rough stuff. What do you mean by the rough stuff? Do you mean holding a partner so firmly that she can't move for a little while, a few seconds? Do you mean scratching? Do you mean nibbling or biting? Is that the rough stuff? As long as it's voluntary, what in the world is wrong with that? It might make the experience more intense. It might stress the strength. You know, within certain limits, that's fine. But by the rough stuff, if you mean handcuffing her to the table, beating her, choking her, I heard of a case, believe it or not, what goes on in this world is unbelievable, of a man who went to a house of prostitution and he had a specific desire. I almost not say it. His desire was when he was penetrating the woman that she throw up. And the one he chose had a certain kind of food before, and then when he was in her, stuck her finger down her throat in order to enable him to come. It's impossible to comment on that. So if you mean by the rough stuff anything more than, you know, some tender little physical injections, then you can justify that by anything. My wife recently passed away, and my 12-year-old son was viciously made fun of by a school bully about his mom being dead. My son beat the hell out of this kid and was suspended. I didn't punish him. I congratulated him for standing up for himself. Is this rational parental advice? Well, let me start by saying that the problem of bullies in schools is real, it's bad, and from everything I can see, it's getting worse, and that's directly linked to the continual decay of morality, a force over reason, of subjectivism, anything goes, relativism, what's true for this group is not true for that group, of rising hostility, when everybody has unlimited claims on everybody, when there's no longer a social consensus to condemn behavior in school. You know, in the 19th century, if somebody wanted to pound a kid, he would be hesitant and mostly stop because he would know how roundly he would be denounced. But today, of course, that is not what happens. Now, even granted this rise of bullying, you couldn't advocate the child's proper recourse is physical self-defense. And here it's parallel to adults. That's why we need government instead of anarchy, that they delegate the right of self-defense. So in that way, you want to teach a kid, you're that old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Well, if he can understand that, that's a very sophisticated attitude today, although when I grew up, it was considered self-evident. If you could teach him to view the claims of these people with the disdain that we regard the arbitrary or the mystical, all he would have to do is tune out and experience contempt. Now, let me say here, as a supplement, I strongly urge parents of all boys and probably most girls from a very, very early age to teach their kids some form of karate or judo and make them expert in it by the time they're in early elementary school. Because in our society's breakdown, the bullies are running loose and the intelligent kids cannot defend themselves. So you, in my opinion, You are a defective parent. If your kid is over six and is not highly advanced in karate or judo or whatever, so that he can take on whoever. Now, if a bully starts with words, the victim trained that way should flaunt his physical strength and ability, and should, if necessary, have friends around him. But what do you do if that doesn't deter him? And, you know, you go to the teachers, and they all are just flunkies of the unions who don't want trouble, and the police won't do anything. What do you do for your child then? I say get out of that school. Try to find a school that will give him some kind of protection. Probably a private school. And my guess is a Catholic school, which is much more strict by my knowledge than most schools, and certainly than the public schools. I would also, I have to say, this is just my own opinion. If that happened to a son of mine, I would not only go to the teachers, I would bring a lawsuit against the union, against the principal, against the school, and let them know from the moment I walk in with my attorney and with someone from the newspaper and say, this is what I want in the very beginning. Never just go to bureaucrats and say, this is unfair. They don't give a damn what's unfair. Their whole life consists of achieving the unfair. So you're going to get anything by going to the teacher. But if you go to the teacher armed with publicity and legal threat, you may get more action. I wish I could tell you more. I reiterate, have him learn karate. In today's world, it is as important as literacy if he's going to get through school. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.